بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today is the study of Surah Al-Buruj, and it was called Surah Al-Buruj because obviously the first ayah begins وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. And this surah, يعني, among consensus with agreement that it's a surah makkiyah. And up until now, few surah have come in which there is the mention of the sky in the beginning. So we had the surah before, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت. The sky was mentioned in the beginning. And we read even before, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انفطرت. The sky, the mention of the sky was also mentioned in the beginning of Surah Al-Infitar. And we also saw and read the mention of the sky halfway in a few of the surah. So we read in Surah Al-Naba, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. And then we read in Surah Al-Takwir, وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ. It came halfway in the surah. And then we read in Surah Al-Nazi'at, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءُ بَنَاهَا. And in surah before, جزا عَمَّا السَّمَاءُ مُنْفَطِرٌ بِهِ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ. There's a lot of mention of the sky within the surah itself. And there are a few surah that began with the mention of the sky. And so especially in the Meccan surah, you'll find a lot of mention of the sky. But we found that most of the time, the mention of the sky was in context of the destruction of the sky. So even in the previous surah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشقت, when the sky is completely torn, you know, beyond repair. انشقت, انشقاق is to totally tear something that cannot even be repaired anymore. You can't put it back together now. And so the predominant theme of the previous surah, we said, was inevitability. And the inevitable role of the sky, the final role of the sky, what was it created for? Where is it eventually going to get to? Is that it's going to be torn. That's what it was created for. And that's its eventual goal, that it be torn and ripped apart. Just like, you know, if you're a uni, if you're a student at the university or TAFE, your goal is to graduate. And every day you're thinking of this big day, this graduation day, when is it going to happen? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He lets us know that when the sky was created, it was created for one day to come. The day in which it'll be torn. And so in the previous surah, the following ayah was, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. It intently listens for the command of its Lord, awaiting for its commandment so it can fulfill its destiny and be torn. وَحُقَّتْ. And it's only rightful for it to do so. This is what we learnt in the previous surah. And so most of the previous surah had the mention of the destruction of the sky. And the destruction of the sky is a future event that will take place in the future on the Day of Judgment. And now this surah that we'll be studying, which is Surah Al-Buruj, it is not about the future of the sky. Rather, it's going to be speaking about the present right now. What's happening in the sky right now and what had happened before. It is a difference you need to make. So basically the surah before were about the future of the sky. What will happen in the future? And we said the ayat, وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا شَقَّتْ انْفَطَرَتْ كُشِطَتْ مُنْفَطِرٌ بِهِ, and so on. But this surah will be speaking about right now. How do you describe the sky right now? So this surah will discuss the present, what we can see right now, and the things that have already happened. And the surah begins by the mention of the strength of the sky. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He swears by the sky. He begins, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. وَالسَّمَاءِ, I swear by the sky. And one thing we need to revise before we move on, is the function of the oaths. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by something, there's a few reasons for this. The first of which is to give greatness and importance to that thing. So for example, when Allah says, wal asr, or wal shamsi wa duhaha, or wal qamari idha talaha, or wal duha, when He takes an oath by these things, they're huge matters. It's not like it's something small, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath by them, so already that displays the greatness and the importance of these things. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the sky, was-sama', it shows us the greatness and importance of the sky. That's an obvious thing. The other thing is that when an oath is taken, it's usually taken when there's some sort of anger involved. Like, you know, when an angry person wants to threaten someone else, I swear I'll kill you. You know, or I swear I'll do this, I'll do that. You swear, and that's when there's anger. So Allah Azza wa Jal, at times in the Quran, He swears when there is anger. Another function is that the oaths are used in language when you're not being believed. So as a young man, when you go back home and your father tells you, where were you? And then you say, I was at the masjid. And then he gives you that funny look. What do you say? Wallahi, I was at the masjid. So in other words, you swear, you use the swear because you're not being believed. The one that's listening to you, your audience, are not believing you. So you take an oath by Allah Azza wa Jal so you can be more believed. Another function, this is a fourth function, we'll end with this one, the fourth function, is that to take the function of the oath. When someone takes an oath, it's to take whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by and make it a witness. So for example, if I was to swear by a person, that's haram, you're not allowed to swear by someone, but just suppose someone was to swear by a person, that means I brought this person as a witness for what I want to say. And for example, we took this in the previous surah, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقِ وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took an oath and He swore by the redness of the sky and by the night and by the moon, He used that oath as a witness to prove the point, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ, that you'll go from stage to stage, just like the moon goes from stage to stage and phase to phase. So you use an oath to bring it a witness for what you want to say. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ, when He says, وَالسَّمَاءِ, that means He has made the sky a witness. And when do you bring a witness forward? You bring a witness to testify for some kind of case. When you bring a witness to testify, you want him to testify for something you want to say. And what you want to say is known as جواب القسم, right? This is the response of the oath. And what is the sky a witness to? That will come later in the surah. Just like we read the فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ, and then the response was لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. So now we're reading وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. Eventually later, we're going to see what Allah Azza wa Jal is using as السَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ for what? Why is He using this for? What does He want to tell us? We'll find this later on in the surah as we move. So now, let's read what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the sky itself. He says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. That. And that in the Arabic language is a possessor. You know, it's referred to in the Arabic language as a mudaf, which illustrates possession. So I swear by the sky that is the possessor of al-buruj. And al-buruj comes from the word burj. That's the noun, or the verb baraja. So burj in Arabic is basically a tower or a fort or a castle. Anything that's high and you have to look up to see it is a burj. That's why in Mecca, if you've ever been to Mecca, you know the towers and the hotels, they refer to them as Abraj Mecca, because you somebody got to look up to see it. Or in Dubai, the very famous, it's called Burj Al Arab, because you got to look high to see it. So anything that's high, that's like a fort or a tower, or even a tall building, is known as a burj. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ, that death will reach you Even if you are in high, lofty places. And he referred to that as buruj mushayyada. So that's what a buruj is. Also, a buruj is a large star. Very large star. That's also referred to as a buruj. And in ancient times, they used to have this study or the sciences of stars. And they would read the stars, basically, so it can tell them about anything they wanted to know. And even nowadays we have the idea of the horoscopes and so on, which is haram anyway to read and to rely on as source for information or guidance. But back in ancient times, they used to have this idea that the sky is divided into 12 parts. This is from Jahiliyyah, طبعاً. It's not from Islam. And each part was called or was considered as Burj. And the Burj, as Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, النجوم العظام. They're the large stars that are in the universe. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by. And the thing he is, why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْكَوَاكِبِ وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ النُّجُومِ? If Buruj is referring to the stars, then we already have seen in previous surah that Allah used the word An-Nujum and Kawakib to refer to the stars. So why now specifically in this surah does Allah use the word Buruj to refer to the stars? We have to find this out and see what kind of meaning is Allah giving us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the sky is the possessor. It's full of thoughts. Buruj. And who's inside of a fort usually? A fort like a castle, a tower. Who's usually inside of that? Huh? Soldiers. A fort is usually full of soldiers. You know, like you have the castle and then you have those on the corners. And usually you have the soldiers in. They're ready for the army to come and then they shoot them by the arrows. These are forts, they're called. And so now, what's inside of a fort are soldiers. And who are the soldiers in the sky? The angels. So the angels are actually positioned in military positions all over the sky. And the large stars that we see in the sky, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us visualize the forts of the angels that are stationed in the sky. And a day is coming when the angels will leave the forts. They'll leave these camps. And will be called to duty, just like when a soldier these days is called to duty, come out for battle. The angels will be called for duty, and they will come down to the tell. They'll come down from the sky, and we explain this. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. They will come down from the sky and make rows upon rows. And we explain how the sky is actually split by the clouds, and then the angels are within the clouds. They come down. So there's like groups and groups and groups of angels that are coming down from all over the places. But right now, the angels are in the forts. And these forts, that's where they are. They are above. That's al-buruj. And we'll see why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the surah as we continue. Now, a few other things about buruj and how it has been explained in other tafasir. We find some say al-qusuru fi sama. It's the same idea. Castles in the sky. We find also al-buruj lati fiha al-haras, the forts in which there are strong armies sitting, the armies of the angels basically. Now, this ayah is a continuation of a previous discussion that already happened in Surah At-Takwir. Previously in Surah At-Takwir, there was an allegation made by the mushrikeen. And that was, they said that the Qur'an is not the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, it's the word of the shayateen, of the jinn. They go to the sky, they get this word. Then they come down and give it to this man. And then he speaks on behalf of these jinn. And so they call him Majnoon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and we read before, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ, in response to this. So this is how the mushrikeen did and how they accused Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Qur'an itself as being the word of the devil revealed on this insane man. But now we're being told that when the jinn try to go up to the sky, what's the security system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set in place? That al-buruj. It's the sky that's full of buruj. You can't even pass them. You know,
And if you do, you get a shooting star that is thrown right at you. So the sky is protected with these buruj. And the revelation comes from the sky. And so the sky is protected, and also the revelation must be protected. So the jinn, the devils, have no access to it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to the allegation that the Qur'an is the word of the devil. How can it be? You know, when the sky is full of forts, that in buruj, and these forts, they're basically full of army, and this army, these soldiers, are the angels that protect anything and everything there. And so also they protect the wahi, the revelation, as it comes down. Another thing is, in the word buruj, it also means, as the ulama has said, al-buruj al-zuhur, exposure, manifestation, display. You know, you say, tabarrajat al-mar'a, meaning that the woman, she displayed her beauty and she walked out. That's where the word tabarrajat, buruj, that's where it comes from, to display something. And so the brilliant, apparent thing in the sky is the stars. That's why they were called buruj, because firstly you look up to see them, and secondly, there's this element of beauty and they're displayed, they're exposed. Just like we said, if a woman walks out with her beauty, she's exposed. Anyone can see it. And so the sky is called buruj because anyone can see it. It's exposed. It's right up there. That's the only apparent thing that's in the sky. And this is really important to understand, because it'll teach us the connection to the previous surah. We learnt in the previous surah that the sky is going to be destroyed. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. But it's not being destroyed in this surah. When you look out to the desert sky, not here in the city, because in the, sort of in the city areas, there's pollution and there's lighting going on, so you usually can't see a lot of stars, as opposed to being in the desert. A desert sky, you see a lot of stars. But imagine for an Arab back in the time, when he looks up towards the sky at night, what do you think he sees? Millions and millions of stars. That's what he can see all over the place. And some of the most shiniest stars and twinkling stars, that's all he can see. It's something basically you cannot avoid for the Arab back in the time. And for an Arab back in the time, there weren't any tall buildings or street lights to take away from the attention of the sky. You see, nowadays, if you drive your car, we don't pay attention to the sky too much because of the tall buildings and then the lights that are on the street and then the billboards that are here and there. Usually your attention is not where it's not up to the sky. But back in the days, there is nothing to distract you from looking to the sky. There's just a desert and then there's a sky. And the end of the desert meets with the horizon, which is the beginning of the sky anyway. So now the attention is being called to something you cannot avoid. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. And every time you look up to the sky, what do you think the Arab is being reminded of? What does he remember? How many times in the Qur'an, and how many times has the Arab heard, and how many times have all of you heard, the destruction of the sky over and over and over and over again? So many times. So every single time the Arab was to look at the sky, the only thing that comes to his mind are these ayat that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reciting about the conclusion of the sky. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ السَّمَاءُ مُنْفَطِرٌ بِهِ وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا إِذَا السَّمَاءُ كُشِطَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. That's his mind, when he thinks of the sky, it's all these describing words of what's going to happen to the sky eventually. And so over and over and over, the Arab back in that time, and us as well, while sharing these ayat, we are being reminded that the sky is going to collapse, and it can't wait to do so. Because that's how we now picture the sky when we look at it. We only remember how Allah described it in the Qur'an. So these brilliant stars are like reminders of the great day, the day of judgment. You know, just like today, if in a building, if there's an alert or there's a warning of some sort, they raise the alarm, the siren. Well, what's usually the siren is associated with a light that flickers. It goes on and off. And so the stars, they're lights in the sky that go on and off. They're just like a reminder to the human being. So that's the alarm system that Allah Azza wa Jal has placed. It's turning on and off It's like the alarm warning, this is going to come to a collapse very soon. It's going to rip very soon. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. And so these stars, we said they're like a reminder. So whenever we see a big star, or when we even see them twinkling, we are reminded of the day when the sky will fully tear. Because it reminds us of the day, يوم القيامة. And so this brings us to the next ayah, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. This is why وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ now comes after. Because you look at As-Sama, it reminds you of the Day of Judgment. Now Allah says, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ, and I swear by the promised day. And the promised day is the Day of Judgment. In where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises the believers the paradise, and He has promised the disbelievers the hellfire. مَوْعُود comes from the word وَعَدَ يَعِدُ, وَعْدًا, which means to promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I swear by the promised day. The day that He has promised over and over and over in the Quran. Even in the previous surah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِيهِ. You are, O human, you are marching forward to your Lord and you will meet Him soon. So there's this يوم الموعود, you're meeting Him. And when you meet Him, when is the day you meet Him? You meet Him on اليوم الموعود, the promised day. And so this is the second oath. The first oath of the surah is by the forts and the camps of the angels. And the second oath is by the promised day. So why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take an oath by these two things? We need to understand the historical context of this surah. In the previous surah, different kinds of crimes of the disbelievers have been mentioned. So we started with Surah An-Naba at the beginning. And the crime there was that the mushrikeen were making fun of the concept of the Day of Judgment. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ. What are they asking? What are they continually asking one another about? And everyone is in denial of the Day of Judgment. And everyone has his own theories. We're going to die. Then we'll become dust and we're gone. Or if we do get resurrected, then the angels will just hook us up and we'll enter paradise eventually. They make fun of this huge event. This was a crime. Then we read a crime against the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the disbelievers called him insane. And Allah Azza wa Jal responded, وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. That's a crime. Then we read a crime against the Qur'an, when they called it that this is the word of the devil. And this in itself, Allah Azza wa Jal responded and said, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. That was a crime. Then we continued and we read different types of crimes where they used to kill the baby girls. وَإِذَا الْمَوْؤُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. They would kill them because obviously it was a humiliation for them. Then we kept on reading, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا اكْتَالُوا عَلَى النَّاسِ يَسْتَوْفُونَ. Even more crimes. These business people who give less than they should and then they take more than they deserve. It's just the little profit they used to make on the side that no one would ever notice. And even if the customer notices, he'll never come back because it's too embarrassing. What are you going to ask for 5 grams that he missed on the scale? So different kinds of crimes were mentioned previously in the surah. Now, and the Muslims and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they'd expose these crimes by reciting the Qur'an onto society, onto mankind that were there at that time. But you know, when the kafir or when the kuffar are being exposed and their criminal behavior is being exposed, for example, the crime of killing the baby or the crime of even cheating in business, is this something that only hurts the Muslim or it's something that hurts the people? Of course, it's something that hurts the Muslims and the people and everyone. You know, it's a crime against humanity, these things. So when the kafir starts getting exposed to their own people, they start getting angry at the Muslims. You know, they say, man, Muslims, we're okay with you if you speak about what's going to happen to the sky, speak about the earth, speak about the stars, speak about past nations. It's all right, it's good. But we can't handle when you speak about us and you expose our crimes. You know, leave us alone. Speak about other stuff. We're okay with that. But don't speak about us and our own problems. Don't expose us to the people. وَيْلٌ لِلْمُطَفِّفِينَ And what tatfif is? And then so people say, ah, that's happening in business. You never knew this. You know, you're being exposed now. And so the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would never leave their evils alone. The Qur'an starts addressing the crimes and the evil one by one, calling them out and exposing them to their own society. And when they are being exposed, the mushrikeen that oppress others and make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, calling him insane, so that whatever he says isn't taken seriously. Right? That's why they used to make fun of him. So whatever he says and whatever exposure he's talking, the society say, oh, this is rubbish, you know, don't worry, because look, they're making fun of him, Majnoon and so on. Maybe he is Majnoon. Why are they doing this? So the people cannot be aware of what the Muslims are exposing of sins. And when none of this worked, for the Mushriku Quraysh, none of it worked. They made fun of the messenger as much as they can. And then they ridiculed them as much as they can. And then they called them Majnoon as much as they can. None of it worked. Still the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ, they're reciting the Quran. They're exposing more and more of the evil deeds of the kuffar. And the society is listening. And they're enjoying this. And Quraysh and the leaders, they're slowly being discredited before their own people. Their own people are looking at them and they're saying, serious? What the Muslims are reciting, we never knew this happens. But now they've been sort of having some awareness that this is happening. So what's the only thing left for Quraysh to do? They ridiculed, they mocked. What are they going to do now? The only thing they can do now is oppress the Muslims. If you can't silence the Muslims by making fun of them and lying against them, then the only thing left is to torture them, you know, beat them to death, or beat them so they can be quiet. And this is the same tactic of the pharaohs, you know. And we'll find later on in this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentions Fir'aun, towards the end of the surah, who also tried to scare and torture his people so they can be quiet. You're going to find a very similarity between Quraysh and Fir'aun and back in the time. And so here, we know the Muslims in Mecca, they didn't have an army, and they weren't a large number of people, and they were a minor number. And this few in number, they had some small children like Ali radiallahu anhu, they had women, they had old people, they had slaves, they had illegal citizens, right, like Bilal ibn Rabah and so on. They had disabled people like Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. It wasn't like an army. It's a small number and look how it is. And so all these kinds of people, they're really subject to torture and prosecution. Very easy. And when you torture these people, when the Muslims are tortured, nobody could question why. And the big leaders of Quraysh, they say, what are these people going to do in response? You know, we're the big leaders here. What are they going to do? We can torture them, we can do whatever, no one's going to defend them, no one's going to speak. And so in the beginning of this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an announcement in the support of the believers. How? He says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. When does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send, who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send to help the believers at the battle of Badr? Who does he send? The angels. بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِكُمْ هَذَا يُمْدِدْكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ بِخَمْسَةِ آلَافٍ مِّنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. You know, that if you are patient and so on, Allah Azza wa Jal will send upon you 5,000 angels, you know, on horses as well, and they're ready to go to battle. Allah Azza wa Jal, he's saying that the angels are being sent from the sky. And these angels, of course, are the military angels. And where are the military angels stationed? In the Buruj. So when the Muslim is being oppressed, he should think he's not alone. He shouldn't think that there's no defense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defense for him. And it's in the sky. And it's ready to go. And it's not only ready to go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also swears by it. And you know, we said, when you swear by something, you make it a witness. So those angels that are up there are witnessing. These forts are witnessing what's going on. What's going on this earth. And so, this is the first threat to the kuffar who attempt to torture the believers. Allah tells them, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. Be careful. There's buruj up there. You think the Muslims are oppressed and they're weak and you can do what you want with them? Allah threatens them, says, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. It's full of forts. It's full of soldiers. The army is ready to come down any second. The second threat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes to the kuffar, a threat that's even bigger than the angels, which is the day that He has promised. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. And so He promises by the next thing, وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. This is another threat. No. And it's more powerful than the angels because everyone's يَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ begins when you die. So that's the other threat. Keep torturing the believers. Do what you want. But your death will come soon and you'll see that promised day in where I have promised you the fire. So this is the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal already just by the beginning of the surah. It is why it's important to understand the historical context of the surah so you can really understand what is this a response to. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. But then the next ayah. What an incredible, amazing ayah that comes right now. Oh, it's just two words. وَشَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. And subhanAllah, if you can just appreciate the power and the depth and the deep meaning that these two words carry. You know, I mean, we'll start with a rough English translation. Both شَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ, both words, come from the same root word, شَهِدَ. شَهِدَ. Which means to bear witness. Also means to be present before something. You say huwa shahidun means he's present. Right, so to be witness to something, you obviously have to be present. So the shahid is a witness. Someone who is engaged in the action of witnessing something is known and referred to as a shahid. For example, if you're standing outside the road and you see a car accident, then you are the shahid. And what you see out on the street of the accident is what's referred to as mashhud. So whatever you see is mashhud. So that's very clear. So we can make it precise. We'll say shahid and mashhud. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, I swear by the witness and I swear by that which has been witnessed. So I swear by the shahid and I swear by the mashhud. Now, there are many, many, many sayings as to what this is referring to. Who's the witness and what's being witnessed? And basically, these two words are a summary of Islam, you can say. They're two words. Summary of Islam. And it's a summary of almost the entire Meccan Quran. This is a summary also of the agreement we have between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things in this, we'll start sharing them. So let's see how and what these things refer to. شَاهِدٍ وَمَشْهُودٍ. This is going to take us some time. So we'll see. We'll begin inshallah ta'ala with the first one. So you can, I'm sharing this with you so you can appreciate the depth of the Qur'an. Two words, watch how much meaning it has. And this is just, I'm giving you a glimpse. This is not everything. The first thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Hud, ذلك يوم مجموع له الناس وذلك يوم مشهود. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the day of judgment is a day to be witnessed. And so the shahid is us. The day of judgment is witnessed and we as humans are what witness it. So we are the shahid and the day of judgment is the mashhood. And how does this obviously come into more of meaning? We are the witnesses of those events that occur on the Day of Judgment. When they take place, the human will witness this. All these hundreds and hundreds of ayat that describe the events of the Day of Judgment are summarized in the word mashhud. That's what's going to be witnessed. And we are the shahid. That's clear. That's first one. Another one. All the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the shahid, is the witness. And you know what is the mashhud. The mashhud is the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the creation witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The oneness of Allah is what's being witnessed, and you and everything else that's created witnesses this. That's the second meaning of shahidin wa mashhud. The third meaning of shahidin wa mashhud, the previous nations. You know, the Arabs are the shahid, and the mashhud are the ruins of the previous nations. So the Arabs, this is going to come in Surah Al-Fajr, when we come to it, we'll read it. The Arab, back in the desert, they would pass by the ruins of Ad and Thamud. Ad and Thamud, obviously, they had buildings and they used to live there, and Allah destroyed them. And even up until this day, the remains and the ruins of Thamud are still there in Tabuk, in Saudi Arabia. And so, the Shahid are the Arabs, or anyone that passes by these ruins. Because you witness it, you see the ruins. And the Mashhud itself are the ruins themselves of the previous nations. You're the Shahid. And what are you seeing? What are you witnessing that? You're seeing these ruins that Allah Azza wa Jal had left and destroyed the nations that were inside of them. And also, the ruins themselves are a Shahid. They're a witness as well. And what are they witness to? They are witness to the power of Allah Azza wa Jal against those who rebel. SubhanAllah, it's just in succession. So we are witness. What do we witness? The ruins. And the ruins are a witness. What do they witness? The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the destruction came down. The fourth thing, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the shahid. He's the shahid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And the witnessed, the mashhud, is who? Is us. Because Allah Azza wa Jal witnesses and He watches over us. So He's the shahid and we are the mashhud. The fifth, in previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us of another kind of shahid. وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. The angels are a witness. And what are they witnessing? Our deeds. Whether they're good or bad, actions or words. So they're the witness, and they're witnessing our deeds. And this is what's happening right now. SubhanAllah, I'll just show you how the role is reversed. What's happening right now is that the angels are witnessing, and they're witnessing your deeds. On the day of judgment, it'll reverse. We will become the shahid. We will become the witness. We see the angels. And what's mashhud? The angels when they come down. So now in this life, the angel is the witness. What is he witnessing to? Your deeds on the day of judgment. You are the witness. What are you witnessing to? When the angels come down from the sky. The sixth meaning of shahidin wa mashhud. Also in the previous surah, we found that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam is a shahid. And Jibreel alayhi salam, who covered the entire horizon with his wing, is the mashhud. Right? وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ بِالْأُفُقِ الْمُبِينِ. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, he's the shahid. He witnessed. He's the witness, one that witnessed. What did he witness? He saw Jibreel alayhi salam cover the entire sky with one of his wings. The seventh is basically everything that Allah Azza wa Jal took an oath by. So for example, you find that Allah took an oath by Wal Asr. Wal Asr is, I swear by time. And so time is the witness. And what is it witnessing? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. It's witnessing that you and I are in loss. So think of time as someone who's just standing there and he's seeing everyone that's just wasting his time. It witnesses to the fact that human is in loss. Shahidin wa mashhud. Another interesting one as well. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, قَالُوا شَهِدْنَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا. On the day of judgment, we witness against our own selves. SubhanAllah. Your limbs and your body is a witness. What is it witnessing against? Your own self and what you did. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this even more graphic, and He says, يوم تشهد عليهم ألسنتهم وأيديهم وأرجلهم بما كانوا يعملون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on that day, their tongue and their hand and their feet will be a witness against them. In other words, who's the shahid? The tongue and the hands and the feet. And what are they witnessing against? Your own self. But you know, I just want to share with you something remarkable in this ayah, in how Allah Azza wa Jal, He puts these in order. What does He say first? Al-sinatuhum, then وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ. What came first? The tongue. What came second? The hands. And what came third? You know why? Because the first thing that leads you to destruction is your tongue. So it was put in the first position, because that's the first thing that will be witnessing against you, because this is the thing that led you to Jahannam, if those that are going to Jahannam end up going to Jahannam. That's the first thing that Allah Azza wa Jal put in order, so He can tell us which one commits more sins. So the first, the Alsun. The second thing is the hand. The hand came in second, because that's second that brings you to more trouble and to more sayyat. And the third is the legs, because at the end, يعني the foot is, it takes you to where you're going to use your mouth and your hand. So that's in the last, in the third category. So subhanAllah, it's just يعني amazing in the way how Allah Azza wa Jal orders them, puts them in order. Now another thing is, the ninth thing is for shahidin wa mashhud, is the messenger alayhi salatu wa salam himself. He is a witness, but this time against the ummah. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم is a shahid. And what is he witnessing against? This ummah. And the witness against this ummah is of two types. The first is his shafa'ah for the believers. And the second is he testifies against them, اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. The witness, he witnesses against this ummah that they abandoned the Qur'an. They didn't read the Qur'an, they didn't listen to its meaning, they didn't ponder over it, they didn't implement it, they never went back to the Qur'an when they disputed amongst one another. This is another type of يعني مشهود that happens on the Day of Judgment. Another thing is that the ummah itself is a shahid. In its entirety, the ummah is a shahid, and the mashhud is the truthfulness of this messenger. Is the truthfulness of this messenger. Now we say, يعني, for example, in khutbah al-hajj, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الْأَمَانَةُ وَأَدَّيْتَ الرِّسَالَةُ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ. So this ummah itself is the witness. What is it witnessing to? That the messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is truthful, and he conveyed and he did the message. Now another very interesting one here, in where the role is also reversed. This is a beautiful one. It's the case of Isa alayhi salam. And this, by the way, is all under the meaning of wa shahidin wa mashhud, all of it. And this is why I told you, basically this is entire Islam, it's all in here. The next thing is the case of Isa alayhi salam. Now the followers of Isa, they asked him something. You know, they said, washhad bi anna muslimun. When they believed in Isa at the time, the followers of Isa, when they believed in him, it was tough times and the believers were being oppressed. And so they told him, Isa, ushhad bi anna muslimun. You be a shahid that we are Muslims. When we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to stand before Allah and bear witness that we are Muslims with you. So they want Isa alayhi salam to be their lawyer on the Day of Judgment. Now many years later, the supporters or the so-called followers of Isa, even up until now, they lost their religion. They lost their religion. And they totally lost their Islam. So we find in the Quran that this ummah, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when we speak to the people of the book, we are told to say, ishhadu bi anna muslimun. Because subhanAllah, look at the role reversal. Look. And look at the change. Now, we tell the people of the book, you bear witness that we are believers. They told Isa alayhi salam, you bear witness that we are Muslims. And then because they lost their deen and they lost their religion, now we have to go to them. At least if you testify that you hate us so much, there's no problem. But at least guarantee that you'll testify before Allah that we are Muslims. no issue. So subhanAllah, they lost their religion. That statement was taken away from them, given to the believers. So now they have to witness on the Day of Judgment upon us that we are Muslims. And it's good, let them say, and they even witnessed this up until this day. You know, are these Muslims? And they say, that's good. Keep it, because that's what we need. Ishhadu bi anna muslimun. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says. You look at Ahl al-Kitab of the Christians and the Jews, and this is what Allah is telling us to tell them. Ishhadu bi anna muslimun. Hey, people, witness that we are believers. It's good if you hear it from them. There's no issue. That's what we want. طيب. Now, the final thing that comes in the meaning of wa shahidin wa mashhud, and this is another opinion amongst the Salaf, is that the shahid is the witness is the day of Friday. What that means is that when you attend the Friday prayer on the Day of Judgment, that same Friday prayer will testify in your favor. It will bear witness that you attended. And basically it will bear witness on your tawheed. Then you said, La ilaha illallah. It's very important. That's why some of the importance of attending the Friday prayer, because it comes as a witness on the Day of Judgment. And also the Day of Arafah is something that you have to go to. And it is something therefore that's witnessed. It's the mashhud. The Day of Arafah. Because Yawm Arafah is not a day that comes weekly. It's a day that comes once a year. And it doesn't come to you. You got to go to Arafah. So you have to go and witness that day. So Yawm Arafah is Al-Yawm Al-Mashhud. And subhanAllah, the Day of Arafah, also, what is it a witness to? You see, the Day of Arafah in itself is a shahid and mashhud. It's a mashhud in the fact that we go and visit it and we witness it. And itself is a shahid. It's a witness. To what? You know what? No. Something else. Besides that, it witnesses that you are on the mountain itself. You are in the plains of Arafah. And that your sins are forgiven and so on. It's a shahid. It's a witness for you that when you see everyone gathered on it, what does it remind you of? Reminds you of the Day of Judgment. And this comes beautifully in context, because we're speaking about Al-Yawm Al-Maw'ud that just came before. So shahid wa mashhud is you're being reminded. Also, this is true to Salat al-Jum'ah. Jum'ah also, you're being reminded of the Day of Judgment. Now, I'll bring all this in context with what came in the previous surah. You know how we spoke about فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ, the redness. And the redness of the sky comes what? Every 12 hours. Every 12 hours there's a redness outside. And this redness is supposed to remind you of what? Of the Day of Judgment. Now, Yawm Arafah comes what? Every 12 months. Yeah? And because it comes every 12 months, it is at the end of the year, and there's a gathering of people, it reminds us of the Day of Judgment. And Yawm Al-Jumu'ah comes every end of the week. End of the week. Friday, end of the week. And the Friday is the day that Allah Azza wa Jal created Adam alayhi salam, and is the day what? The Day of Judgment will take place. So Friday, the Day of Friday, and Yawm Arafah are both reminders of the Day of Judgment. SubhanAllah. Just like a shafaq, the redness is a reminder of the Day of Judgment. So wa shahidin wa mashhud. It witnesses, and it's witnessing that Day of Judgment is very soon and it's going to happen. Here, just look at Yawm Arafah. Look at the people. See how they're gathered? They're all wearing white and they all look the same. Look at it. This is a witness of the Day of Judgment. This is proving the Day of Judgment. Yawm al-Jum'ah as well. Everyone is gathered in one place, listening to the Khatib. That's also, it's witness. It's in itself, it's witnessing that the Day of Judgment and those events and accounts are true and real. Now, wa shahidin wa mashhud, to conclude, in the context of this surah, the first ayah of this surah, what was it? وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ is the shahid. And the second ayah was وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ is the mashhud. How? وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. Who's the shahid? The sky is a witness to what's going on in the earth. And the sky that's full of stars that are forts are witness to what's happening on this earth. The angels that are in the forts now, they are witnessing to what's happening on the earth. So they are the shahid. And what is the thing that's going to be witnessed the day that has been promised? وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ. All of us are going to witness this. We're all going to see it. So that's مَشْهُود. So subhanAllah. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ is the shahid. وَالْيَوْمِ الْمَوْعُودِ is the مَشْهُود. And now the oath, obviously it has a response. It's just like we read before. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقَ وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقَ. What was the response? لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. There was an answer. And so inshallah ta'ala, next week we'll explore what the answer is, and we'll tie it back to the oath itself, just like we did in the previous surah. We said الشَّفَقِ, and how is this connected to لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ, about the moon, how it goes in phases and stage to stage, and then Allah said, you also going to phase to phase. So there was a connection between the object of the oath and the subject of the oath. Inshallah ta'ala, this is what we're going to explore next week. And inshallah ta'ala, also next week there'll be the story of, although I wanted to share it with you today, but there wasn't time for it, and that is the story of Ashabul Ukhdud. Right, so now the next ayah that's going to come, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابُ الْأُخْدُودِ. And we'll mention the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud. Who are the people of Ukhdud anyway? That comes in that surah, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us students of the Qur'an, people who benefit from the reminders of the Qur'an. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.